Bambi Thug was opening and Jay said that we get gender envy from her, then they were like, bad name, bad name.
Have you ever got starstruck? Have you had that yet?
The only time I was close was with Deaf Evan.
Hi, I'm Erin Velak, and I've made it my mission to interview the members of the University of Nottingham's student radio station, URN. Join me to uncover how our members got into student radio, what they're listening to in their free time, and their most iconic pieces of clothing that might make you recognise them as you're walking around campus. I want to know who they are when the mics aren't live, so let's find out. This is Off Air with URN. Hello everybody, I am here with Jake Longhurst of Mashup currently. The Mashup legend themselves.
That's me.
I'm still here. Wow, you saw my brain just went for a second there. Anyway, I'm here with Jake. Jake, how are you doing?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
Lovely.
A little tired, but managed to get here mostly close enough to being in time that it counts.
Yeah. No, you're all good. You're all good. I sat in the office and I played Wordle for a minute. Haven't got today's Wordle yet, but I've got three of the letters, so...
Fair. I haven't actually done Wordle in a while, so I might get that up quick. What's for here?
Hey, we'll chat and maybe have a Wordle competition.
Chat and Wordle.
I'm so stuck on the Wordle though, so anyway, I don't think I can look at it. I do often just give myself a break when
Total
I can't
breaks
get it.
Usually help, to be fair.
Yeah. Really off topic to start with, but you and I did spend a wonderful afternoon with Connor playing Contexto, a game I didn't know really existed.
We did. It's a great game. I'm surprised you guys didn't know it.
And we spent 2 hours playing it, I realised, because it was basically the entirety of a football game, plus a little bit more. Great game. Really recommend it. When I got it right first out of the three of us, I felt like I was invincible. I could do anything. When I got it last, I felt like the stupidest person to exist. So... It really lifts you up just to pull you back down, I think.
It really, really do be like that, if you ask me.
And that's part of why I love it.
It is an interesting game. It's a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, I'm going to...
It made for a great 2 hours.
It did.
Oh, yeah, keep that one in.
Yeah, hay fever season. Really, really getting to me today.
Time to be alive.
I know. How, do you have hay fever? Have you been suffering?
Blissfully, no. Oh. I am one of the lucky ones.
I am so hay fevered that I have food allergies because I have hay fever.
That's really not funky, homie. That is not it.
It's not it at all. But it's all right. They're just very mild. So I eat them anyway. Anyway, so... Let's start at the beginning, like I like to start with everybody. You are...
Oh, I just got Wordle in three.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
It's not an easy one either. Oh, I'm happy with that. Oh, that was big.
Ah. No one knows what day we're recording this, so it doesn't matter. I've got E, I, and N, and I know N's the middle one, and I don't know where the E and I is currently.
I won't say a word.
So annoying. But
I won't say
a
word. It's not an easy one, though.
Okay. So you know what? That's actually really helpful.
It's not the kind of word you'd typically expect.
Yeah. I do have my gross feet. Socked feet.
The dogs.
But they're on the table. I hope
mine are currently on the couch. Dogs also yapping today.
I just need to, you know, stretch out a bit.
Gotta do it.
So how did you get into this wonderful student radio? It's your third year doing student radio.
No, it's my second, homie.
Oh, I always forget. It's your second year doing radio.
Because I'm a third year who joined in second year.
Yes. But you're currently in your second year of your degree, but also your third year, and it's all very complicated.
Yeah, basically. So we're going to basically go on the fact that I've been at university for 3 years.
That's the bit I was trying to get at.
And we'll be finishing next year, but started radio in my second year.
Okay, yes. So you started last year.
Yeah.
Okay, so why did you start in your second year? Why didn't you start in your first?
Mostly because of COVID and the fact that, you know, obviously online... society welcome fair, it was a bit crap, to say the least.
Yeah, I don't...
So I kind of just...
think I did. I went. I must have gone to it, but I think I got intimidated by talking to people online and left pretty quickly. Fair.
I didn't do anything really through that. I joined Mexoc rugby team, and I saw a few other societies, but I didn't do much with them because they did so few activities that I just got bored because they were doing stuff so infrequently that it wasn't worth going. So the only society I really touched in first year was Mexoc rugby. And then second year came around and I knew one or two of my mates at other unis had done the radio and really enjoyed it. I was like, you know what? This could be a bit of me. I love a bit of music. I'm going to carry on my degree, but I love some stuff to do on the side.
Yeah.
Talked to our esteemed ex-head of After Dark, Regan Gishon, at the Welcome Fair. And it sounded pretty intriguing. I was like, oh, this sounds pretty good. I reckon I could give this a whirl. Came along and was paired with the absolutely wonderful Kate Gibson last year for Headbangers Hideaway. And also about halfway through the year started Mashup, which has now evolved into its own complete show this year. So I've been doing radio for nearly 2 full years and loved it.
No, that's quite fun that you found your feet and then joined radio.
Yeah, gave myself an interesting first year.
Yeah, busy first year.
Busy in some capacities.
Made yourself busy.
Yeah.
Gave yourself things to do.
Yeah, lots of things to do. Lots of things that revolved around specific places in Nottingham that tended to have alcohol inside of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was quite common.
Yeah, as first year should be.
Exactly. I don't think that changed too much in second and third year. I just gave myself other stuff to do that wasn't my degree and did loads of those.
Fair enough. Do you enjoy your degree?
At points.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, for those who aren't too aware, I'm a mechanical engineer. And honestly, I chose the degree because I didn't really know what I wanted to do after A-levels. I knew I wanted to go to university.
Yes.
I didn't really know too much what I wanted to do after that. So I chose a degree that I, objectively quite good at technically, in that I did physics, maths, further maths, electronics at A-level. I did really well in all of those subjects at GCSE. Like, I got, nines and A-stars in them for the subjects that weren't numbered subject yet. I got nines and A stars across the board in those four. Did well in them at A level, so it was objectively I am good at those. What can I do with those things at university? Mechanical engineering is one of them. It's got lots of options afterwards, which was appealing at the time because I just didn't really know what I wanted.
A degree that's going to open doors.
Yeah, I knew it's a great degree to have. Everyone's aware of the fact it pays pretty well. You get a lot of job offers, and also fundamentally, it's meant to be quite hands on, which sadly hasn't happened really at all, still on the effects of COVID.
Yeah.
But I really wanted something that was a bit more hands-on, a bit more practical. So it seemed like the right degree at the time. To be fair, it probably still is.
Do you think if you had to... This is two slightly different questions. If you had to go back to 3 years ago and change degrees, would you? And the other question is, if you had to start a new degree today, would you?
No and no.
Mm-hmm.
I would not change degrees going back through... Are we assuming I go back 3 years with the knowledge I have now?
No. Assuming you go back 3 years and...
In the same position.
You just are told you can't do mechanical engineering for whatever reason.
Okay. In which case, what would I change to? What would I have changed to? 3 years ago, I would have gone to nuclear engineering.
Okay.
It would have been just a different
still
style
some
of engineering.
Sort of, yeah.
There's a couple of nuclear engineering courses across the UK that are very good. Birmingham was the one in particular for me. I'd done a course there in year 10 that was very interesting.
Okay.
So I probably would have gone with that. And then if I had to do a new degree starting today, it would probably be some form of journalism degree, ideally surrounding music or written or broadcast journalism, not news though, a journalism broadcast, not news journalism.
Yes.
So that'd probably be what I'd do, but it makes more sense to have a degree than no degree, and to do another 3 full years would be ludicrous.
Yeah, no, exactly. Especially if you're just getting a bachelor's at the end of it when you've already
exactly.
got one.
When I've got the experience I've got, it's more the fact that I would have a degree rather than a specific degree.
And I saw a list recently that, I think it was the New York Times or somewhere like that, hardest degrees. And you can go on this website and see where your specific course, even at your specific uni, ranks. And mechanical engineering,
sick.
I'm pretty sure, yeah, it was top 10. The top 10 are all engineering.
I think the top 10 were, there was architecture at the top.
Yes.
And then it was
different forms
of engineering, chemistry and physics made the top 7 or 8. Then after that, it was medicine and veterinary and pharmacy or something.
Yeah.
So they were the top 10 rounded out by those.
Yeah. And then there was psychology was around there as well. Because I had a look with me to compare myself to my siblings, obviously. My brother does some sort of form of engineering. So I was like, his specific kind wasn't on their list at all. So, but I was like, it'll be around there because he does aeronautical.
As an equivalent, you know. It would be roughly equivalent to a mech.
Yeah. And then my sister does psychology. So I was like, where's that? And it was in the 20s. And then I was far behind on like 32 or 33 with economics. But it's really interesting you say that, because that was exactly my perspective. Was I don't know what I want to do. What am I maybe enjoying right now? What is it that could open doors? And I knew that a door I never wanted to open was science. I've never cared about science. I've never been interested in science. Like, just can't bring myself to care about anything like that. But every other subject I've always loved or found things interesting. So economics was that for me. It was one that everyone's like, hey, you can get paid pretty well from an economics degree, which is true.
That's very much true, yeah.
But that's because the careers you go into tend to be fairly well paying. And so I was like, cool, I'll do that. And even if that's not the future, which I don't think it is, you know, it opens enough doors from just saying I did an economics degree.
And it's useful. It's a lot of useful skills.
Yes. And it's doing so much maths.
Yeah.
And getting the BSc, which I really don't want to do. I wish it was a BA, but that's okay. It's not. And I don't have the option to make it a BA, which some unis do.
It's okay.
But it's okay. It's okay. It's all right. I promise.
We're here for you. We're here to support you through this trying time.
Yeah, but it's that sort of, I asked the question in kind of the two perspectives, because I feel like for me, if I were to go back now, I don't know that I would have changed my degree if I started when it wasn't COVID. Sorry, no, I'm saying if I had to start a degree now, now I was 18, I turned 18 in 2023, I would probably still do economics, because I think COVID really is the reason for a lot of my reservations with having done the degree. However, if I went back to before COVID and had to change and had to pick a degree, I would change it to something, I think, a bit more interactive.
That makes sense.
Just so I'd have that excuse to be interactive, because you don't have to go to any lecture. It makes no difference on your life, because it's all recorded, and it's not like they talk to you in lectures anyway.
Yeah.
You know, even our tutorials, which are supposed to be our contact time, it's very much, it's not, no one wants to talk. Like, and we mainly get set maths questions to do, or it's read a paper and tell us what was the aim of this paper. So it's like, there are objective answers. I don't actually have to go. There's no discussion of ideas. And I feel like I would have preferred doing something with more discussion of ideas.
Yeah, more almost subjective kind of things.
Yeah, something like English or politics or...
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, just something that, as you say, more subjective, that there was discussion, so I felt like I was with people. But yeah, bit of a random tangent, but I always find it, that's why I asked the question, because there's the idea of, yeah, sure, I did my degree, I'm happy with what I've done, but I don't want to do it anymore. But then there's also the, do I regret actually doing it? And I was just trying to, and I was just curious about where you sat on that.
Yeah, no, I don't regret doing it. It's useful, and it's something I would still go into. But if I can go into the path I've kind of given myself now, I will.
Yes. And I think we should talk about that path a little bit.
Okie dokie.
You are, I'd say, it must be said, we have recorded this before, and it was about 6 months ago. And I feel like 6 months ago, I really wanted to hear about your music tastes, which is great. Still care about that. But I think now the stuff that we chat, but I don't think we've chatted about a lot is the way you've kind of moved into a lot of the, what's the word? Not PR, managerial kind of almost side of things, and the relationships with bands and venue owners and things like that, and how you've kind of gone very, I think even in this past 6 months, being in a band yourself now, who started gigging a lot more. Do you feel like that's...
Yeah.
Can you give me the words I'm trying to say, please? Because I know you've got it. What are the words I'm missing?
Well, partly like comms, just doing comms.
Mm. Yes, that's the one.
As much as anything, I think also, Ali put this quite well. In fact, was it Ali or Izzy? I think it might have been Moz, actually.
Okay.
Said something about the fact that she sees my role not so much as like an interviewer or a radio host. I'm a schmoozer.
Mm.
Like, you can catch me in an event and I'll schmooze anybody and I'll be chatting, getting numbers, getting contact details, and that's something I do well.
Yeah.
So it's as much that as anything else, which she's not wrong. I love schmoozing. I'm a big fan of a schmooze.
Mm.
And yeah, it is very much like in the last few months especially, I've got a lot better at like getting contact details, getting in touch with people and using what I have currently in my experiences to push for stuff that I probably shouldn't otherwise get.
Yeah.
Which is very advantageous, being good at that.
It's
opened a lot of doors and giving me some really amazing opportunities.
And
already.
I feel like that's what I've been seeing you do, is being able to do it so well recently that you've got all these great opportunities.
Yeah, like come over the last few months, and it's not so much that it's only happened in the last 6 months as it's like the benefits are now starting to kick in properly.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like it's happened over the last year, and the last 3 or 4 months, the effects are kicking in already.
Ah, that makes sense. What would you say has been your biggest, or maybe proudest, schmooze?
Getting into the Heavy Music Awards as a VIP, for sure. Like, no doubt.
I didn't know you went as VIP.
I was sat in the VIP area.
Oh my goodness.
That's how I managed to chat to McFly, Ed Gamble, Harriet, Ithaca, etc.
Stop, I can't hear it.
It was brilliant.
That's it. It all looked amazing, and what you've told me of it.
It's wonderful. So the way I pulled that off was by hosting Mashup. I can claim to host the heavy show on URN, like the heaviest show on URN, and I also have the Song of the Week, which is, you know, in its own way a little bit prestigious. Whether the station sees it that way is one thing, but industry people would see it as quite a prestigious thing.
Yeah.
So I've got that claim. I've also got the claim of being head of the mic, the music magazine, which is pretty good.
That is a great claim, and you have done a lot with it, I feel like, this year. Everyone's been working really hard on it.
And also head of music at NSTV, not to mention, you know, I'm in two bands.
Which, head of music at NSTV is a role they made for you.
It is. Well, it used to exist.
Oh, did it?
It did. And then no one claimed it, so it just vanished.
Yeah.
And they've almost just resurrected it for me to kind of do things with, which I've now done with Dot to Dot, and I'm about to do this weekend at Download.
Mm.
But by having all of those roles, being in a band, being in two bands, and, you know, helping out with a lot of the Gender Envy communications and stuff, it's given me experience. And I applied to be on the industry panel for the Heavy Music Awards with all of this in tow.
Yeah.
About 7 months ago, something like that.
Okay.
And I found out in December, I think it was, that I was part of the industry panel, which is about 800 people across the world who come up with the nominees for the Heavy Music Awards.
So you judge it, basically.
So the Heavy Music Awards goes to the public vote with 7 nominees for each category.
Okay, yeah.
We, as the industry panel, essentially help to provide the nominees.
I'm going
to
give my reference, which is going to show the difference between the two of us. So, like the Teen Choice Awards.
Not dissimilar. There's the unknown panel who provide the choices that you as public people get to vote for.
Okay.
We also get to have a vote in that.
Yeah.
Still only the one vote, whatever. But we also, we send in our personal picks for each category, ranked 1 to 3 of who we think is the best in each. And it can be anyone that's heavy, alternative, whatever. There's no limit on it, no set answers. We choose our favourites, and from there, they choose the 7 nominees by our choices.
Yeah, so it's like if everyone puts someone as their like third option, that person is probably going to make
it. That person will definitely make it in, yeah, because there's 7 nominees. If every single person puts someone as third, they're guaranteed comfortably.
Yeah, okay.
And then from there, it was a case of, you know, done the industry panel, thought that was really cool, did the public vote just because, you know, I still want to vote personally and see the bands I want to win. And then I got an email sent to me a couple of months back, saying, as you're part of the industry panel, we would cordially like to invite you to come to the Heavy Music Awards as a VIP. And I was like, yeah, that's a deal. Tick, 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 tick.
Is that something they send to all their
I think it's to all the industry people. But again, it's only like 800 people worldwide. Yeah. Like, it's not a massive amount.
And they're probably not expecting that many people.
Most of them don't.
Yeah.
Because
it's a lot of
easily about half of the tables were not the industry panel people.
Yeah.
They're special guests. So, like, Machine Gun Kelly had his own table. McFly had their own table. Like, it's stuff like that. Bands had their own tables. And then the other probably 50% of people there were special guests. Not special guests, industry panel. Mm. But, you know, a decent number of the people are in PR, are in the music industry themselves. So haven't necessarily voted, but are big enough in the music industry. They get their own table.
Yeah. Like the labels and things like that.
Yeah, so there were a lot of tables that were specifically label tables, as it were.
Yeah.
And then I was just put on a random table with a lovely bunch of people, chatted all sorts, chatted
schmoozed
to loads of people.
Schmoozed your way through.
I did schmooze a few. and then had a brilliant evening, sat in the really cool VIP bit.
That's so cool.
So it was brilliant, I have to say.
And you'll probably get to go back next year, I'm guessing.
Fingers are crossed. I don't know if I have to reapply, but if I do, I will absolutely be reapplying.
Yeah.
I absolutely hope to go again next year. It was a brilliant event, and next year I want to schmooze harder.
You kind of do one for fun, second for...
First one was very much like, I'm having an amazing time, this is sick. Next year will be that's the one where I'm like, okay, I'm done with uni now, I need a job. Yeah. Who can I schmooze?
Me at the Student Radio Awards.
Yeah, anyone literally in the vicinity. Hello there, my name's Jake Long here, it's nice to meet
Maybe
you.
At the Student Radio Awards this
I'm
gonna
year.
Print
business
I'm
going to
walk
year.
Around with you.
I'm going to print business cards.
And I'll write my email on the back of your business cards.
Do it. Yeah, I'm comfortably going to print business cards. They'll have my link tree and stuff as well, so they can see everything on there.
Oh, such a good idea, yeah.
Got it all.
Yeah, I remember the Student Radio Awards afterwards being kind of told, oh, Erin, you spent most of the night talking to like industry professionals and all that. And I was like, I didn't get a single email because I was not in the mood for like schmoozing. I was on like
just
getting
chatting.
Contact. I was just in a chatting mood. So I just had the best chats with some of these people. Like one of them was telling me about his Halsey Stan account. I was like showing me all the times Halsey had liked his tweets. And I was like,
that's
iconic. A massive fan, and I can't remember who it was, but you know, it's someone who works in radio and all that kind
that's
of stuff.
That's really funny.
I spoke to Mike Cass, which was as everyone
lovely.
Does. It was so funny because someone was like, "Oh, Erin, you have to speak to Mike Cass." I think it was Jake Ferris Woolley.
Yeah.
And then because they were kind of just standing chatting with each other, and then Mike Cass was like, "I'm good." He's never Mike. He's always Mike Cass.
He is Mike Cass.
And he was like, "Oh, I'm gonna go get a drink," and I was like, "Okay, cool, bye." But like, I'll never see you again. He's like, "No, I will be back." I was like, "Sure, you will." And then he actually came back, and I was like, "Oh, okay, thanks."
King.
But his advice to us was guilt people into remembering you. So I was like, "Right, see you." Like that's your excuse to leave. I'll see you later. And then he did actually come back and
there
talk
you go.
To me.
Sorted it.
Yeah, and he was trying to give me life advice, but I was like, "I don't know what I want to do." And he was like, "Well, if you don't know, then nothing's going to happen." I was like, "Thanks, Mike Cass."
Which, I mean, is fair.
It is fair.
Yeah. There's only so much you can do at that point.
Yeah.
And it was still a fun evening.
Yeah. That was my best attempt at schmoozing. And as I say, I wasn't in the mood for it. I wasn't trying. I was just having the best night ever.
Which is fair.
Yeah. It was so much fun.
It was a great night. That
I'm
was a
excited
lot of fun.
For next year.
So am I. I'm really looking forward to it.
Hopefully just as good, if not better.
Fingers are crossed for that.
Yeah.
Let's go for some more success. Woo.
More than just a nomination. No, to be fair, I don't care. I've been nominated for an award. A fun fact about Eco Frenzy is during your first year, URN did some internal awards just for fun. You know, it'd been COVID, so we wanted to do some fun awards. Eco Frenzy got third place in, I believe, Best New Show. And our group chat was called Eco Frenzy Future Award Winning Podcast. We changed it to Eco Frenzy Award Winning Podcast, and it has been in our Instagram bio since then that we are an award winning podcast.
That's very cool.
We've won an internal URN award, but you know what? I love it.
We take those. An award's an award.
Exactly. I always leave this to the end, but we're talking about awards, and I feel like now's a fun time to talk about it because we're talking about achievements.
Go for
what
it.
Has been your proudest achievement, do you think? Is it your love of schmoozing? Is it your skills?
I'd say actually my proudest achievement is possibly a combination of a couple of things. There's a lot mm-hmm. that would make the cut of like big achievements.
Yeah.
Up there, I mean, just the fact that I managed to chat to Bastille was ridiculous. Doing a full interview with Enter Shikari was massive for me as a massive fan of theirs.
Yeah.
The fact that Frank Carter and Dean recognise me is comfortably high on the list.
That's crazy.
It's because of my hat. The infamous Slayer hat.
Yes, yes.
Which is a bit of a joke. But I'd say the highest single achievement for me so far is doing press in the Netherlands at Roadburn Festival and interviewing Death Heaven and Chatpile specifically. Because Chatpile, it was their first ever time out of the USA, not just as a band. I think for at least two or three of the four, they'd never left the US at all. It was their first ever time. And chatting to them for a full half hour or so, 35 minutes, for an amazing interview with a band who are going to become heroes and future legends in rock and metal.
Yeah.
That was just a bit surreal, chatting to them before their first ever European shows. And they were unbelievable live. And chatting to Death Heaven, George from Death Heaven specifically, because Death Heaven have changed my life as a band. Their album Sunbather from 2013, when I first heard it, I think it would have been 2016 or 17. Mm. I can comfortably say that album changed my music taste, changed the way I perceive music and the way I take music in. And so then having the opportunity to interview him was surreal. And then that day they did two headline sets across 2 days. That day they did Sunbather in full as a 10th anniversary show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was unbelievable. And I got a set list from that, which genuinely, I didn't have to do anything else that weekend. That was weekend already. And then the next day I saw them again do a full set of their most recent album, Infinite Granite, which was also unbelievable. So yeah, that's probably my biggest achievement so far.
That's pretty cool.
That was unreal.
It's the firstly, it sounds like you're doing incredible things anyway, you know. Secondly, it's with people you love and care about.
Yeah, obviously that's bigger, like,
which makes it so much more.
If I got the opportunity to chat to someone like The Weeknd or Ed Sheeran, it would be ridiculous.
Yeah,
but it would mean more to me to chat to Slipknot, Bring Me the Horizon, Lamb of God, Death Heaven, etc. Like, I care more about that than I would about Ed Sheeran or The Weeknd.
Yes.
It would be unreal, but if I got the opportunity to chat to, you know, one of those global artists or one of my favourites, comfortably favourites every day, because, yeah, it means that much more for me and for my experiences, for my career, much as it would probably help my career more to do the former, for me personally, it would mean so much more to do the latter.
Have you ever got starstruck, like, talking to one of these people? Because you're, as we've said, you're a good schmoozer. I can't imagine you being lost for words or starstruck at all. Have you had that yet?
Not. The only time I was close was with Death Heaven.
Yeah.
And I was not a million miles off it the first time I got the opportunity to chat to Frank Carter. I mean, Death Heaven, just as I've said, like, very much a band that changed my life. And
you are wearing a Frank Carter t-shirt right now. I just saw you. I was reading your shirt, Frank Carter, like, and
I'd say the only bands that would truly, I would most likely be properly starstruck would be a band like Slipknot, Bring Me, Lamb of God, or Coldplay.
Okay.
Which it's a bit of a rogue one. I would be less starstruck by like an Ed Sheeran or The Weeknd, someone like that, than I would by someone like Coldplay. But it'd be like those three bands that I mentioned first, because they're my favourite bands ever. And certainly Slipknot and Bring Me are massive, and Lamb of God are my favourite band ever.
Mm.
Coldplay, I just saw them recently and they are unbelievable. And I think having seen a band, you're probably more likely to be starstruck, I think. You've seen what they can do.
Yes.
And that's unbelievable. Like, they're an amazing live band. And then it would be the living legends category. Like, if I met Adele or The Who or The Rolling Stones, any of Led Zepp, I'd be starstruck.
Yeah, that's like a whole different kind of thing. You're a real person.
They're the ridiculous level. Like, yeah, obviously anyone who talks to like a Paul McCartney is going to be starstruck unless you're not human.
Yeah.
But bar those, I wouldn't say so. But yeah, Frank Carter, the first time I chatted to him, I was a bit starstruck as well. And it was a very different scenario to how I usually meet bands. It was at a fan event in East London, right next to his tattoo shop, which is sadly closing down. But his tattoo shop is called the Rose of Mercy. It's in Hoxton, and right next to it is a park, a little public park, and on the other side of it is a pub, the Howling Moon. So it goes tattoo shop, park, pub, and they were doing a full day of tattoos. I can't remember exactly what the idea was, but it was like, I think, a flash day of tattoos, and you'd get tattooed by Frank, which, you know, really cool.
Yeah.
I don't have the money for that. Much as I would love to have been able to do that, I didn't have the money. So I got there a bit later in the day, grabbed a drink at the pub and just sat in the park from about 5:30. And Frank and Dean, so there, Frank is the lead singer, Dean is the lead guitarist. They came out about 6-ish and they sat on their own table with their buddies and no one went over to chat to them, which, you know, very respectful. But the kind of point of it was almost like it was a fan meet with the band and no one took the opportunity. I thought, I'll wait it out. I ended up chatting to their, at the time, behind the scenes guy who filmed a lot of their stuff for Instagram.
Oh, that's cool.
Really nice guy. Yeah. I still follow him on Instagram, I think. Really nice dude. And, you know, I was chatting to him for about half an hour. Lovely fella. He then went off and was chatting more with the band and they're all sat on their own table again. That was about 7. So I went and just sat with these random 3 blokes who never met before in my life. We chatted for an hour and a half. It was great.
Yeah.
They then went home and I think it was about 8-ish they left. And I waited another 20 minutes or so. I was the only fan sat around at that point. Everyone else had gone home, pretty much. I think there were a couple of people lolling about, but I was just sat on my own in the corner, pretty happy.
Yeah.
Frank and Dean had gone somewhere, I don't know where. And then their behind-the-scenes guy just invited me over to the table. He was like, oh, come and have a chat. Come sit here.
Yeah.
So I sat next to him and was just chatting to everyone at the table. And then Dean sits next to me.
Oh.
Like, there was one spot that it was his spot, it happened, that I sat next to. He just came and sat down next to me. And I was a tiny bit starstruck, because at the time, he was my lock screen.
That would have been so awkward, but also,
it wasn't. I was like, hello, nice to meet you, Dean.
Yeah.
Just so you know, the first time I saw you guys was downloaded. You're my lock screen. He's like, that's a sick photo, mate. That's awesome. Oh, thank you very much. And we just chatted for an hour, him and his mate.
Maybe because you had such a normal interaction with them that maybe it's more you get starstruck because it's... I feel like when you're trying to take, like, these people who are such made-up people in your mind, you know, that the idea you have of them is not who they are at all. Especially if you haven't like seen them in the flesh before and then you're seeing them in the pub, you know, that's such a normal place to see people.
Literally sat on a bench in a park next to a pub. It's like, it's not anything special. He came and sat down next to me and we just chatted, him and his mate opposite. I think he was called Marty.
Yeah.
So it was me, Marty and Dean. We chatted for an hour and like we were chatting about most obviously music.
That's the easiest thing to talk about, isn't
obviously
it?
Yeah. And like, they were asking me what gigs I had coming up.
So and you were like, oh, here's the list.
I'm notorious for going to gigs more often than not. And I showed him my gig list. He was like, this is fucking massive. Sorry, can I swear?
Yeah, go for it. I will bleep it.
Yeah, that's okay. This is an enormous list. Like, what the hell? And he was just looking through, these are sick bands that I was going to. I had stuff like Meshuggah, My Chemical Romance, like some... like fairly wide ranging but all bangers by my own personal opinion, obviously, because I was going to see them all, so obviously I think they were good. But he's like, these are sick. And we just kept chatting about music. I ended up doing tequila shots with him.
Oh, that's funny.
And like, so, this woman who was sat at the table, I never caught her name, but she just got on, was like, everyone want tequila?
You're like,
and did tequila shots with Dino and his mates. Frank came out with a glass of wine and he's short.
Okay.
Frank's short. Dean's probably 6'2 or something, 6'3.
Oh,
like, he's
a tall
quite
yeah.
lanky geezer, but tall guy.
Yeah.
Frank's like 5'7.
It's almost my height.
But there's something about him. There is an aura about Frank Carter.
Okay.
Not just on stage. On stage, the man is like, he's a rock legend on stage. And he's not got that status. He deserves it. He's not got that status, but on stage, he is a rock legend.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you are, if you're seeing them for the first time, for the 100th time, the man exudes, I am a hero, I am a legend, you're going to look at me and you're going to love this.
Yeah.
And they always are amazing. But even in the park, with a glass of red wine, I think it was red or white wine, it wasn't rosé.
Just magnetic.
I just saw him, I was like, there's Frank over there. I'm going to be gutted if I don't go and say hello.
Yeah.
Went and chatted to him.
And you had your tequila
very
shot,
briefly.
So.
I'd already had tequila. I went and chatted to him really briefly and he was quite quiet. I think long day and apparently he was having a bit of a rough day.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't want to like talk to him loads anyway. But I just went and said hi and oh my goodness, like the man has an aura.
Were you just like staring him like open mouth?
That
like,
was a bit of a starstruck moment.
Yeah.
Like just walking over there, he's not only magnetic, you wouldn't want to get on his bad side.
Really?
And again, he's 5'7". But there's something about him that just says, you cross me, you'll regret it.
Wow.
It was like... that was weird. And so that was probably the only time I've truly been starstruck. Mm.
Would you want to meet your heroes?
Yes.
Yeah, had no fear about them not living up to expectations.
I've found so far, bar one band I've interviewed, no one's been nasty at all.
That's great.
Literally, that's it.
And you've spoken
I won't mention the band that I've interviewed because that's not fair, because I don't know if they were having a particularly rough day or something.
Yeah,
but there's only one band I can think of that were not nice to interview, or artist.
Yeah.
Other than that, everyone's been nice. Admittedly, I'm sure a part of that is student journalism. Yeah, they don't want to be rude to the students.
Yeah, I think it's quite easy to almost look down on us in fondness as students, which works to our advantage sometimes. Yeah. Doesn't
but,
it
like,
others?
There are plenty of bands that I've chatted to a few times, they remember me. And like, they don't have to go to that effort.
Yeah.
Like, Crawlers are mutuals with their bassist, Liv. Absolutely lovely. They're lovely. Like, really easy to chat to. The whole band are, and they all remember me. And like, who is it? Skindred, Benji Webb. Absolutely top-notch bloke. Chatted to his wife for 25 minutes at the Heavy Music Awards, actually. She was lovely. And he, because he was busy, he was signing some stuff, and I was just sat there anyway, his wife and I got chatting, and afterwards they were about to head in, and he just thanked me, like, oh, thank you so much for chatting to my wife and keeping her company.
Yeah.
He's lovely. Frank and Dean, as I've said, wonderful. Enter Shikari especially, wonderful. Katie from Pupil Slicer, she came up to me in Roadburn in the Netherlands, recognised me and was like, hi, Jake.
Like, and you went, who are you?
No,
I
love Pupil Slicer.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd noticed her over just over the way and said to Sam Cristolo, who was with me, that's Katie from Pupil Slicer, you know, we won't say hi because don't want to bother her. We'll chat to her later. Yeah. You know, we'll leave her be. And they came over. Sorry, they came over and said, you know, hey, Jake, how you doing? And came over first. And I was like, this is really cool. So, like, bands don't need to go to that level of effort. And when they do, it means a lot.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot more than I expected. And so I'd say I would absolutely meet my heroes. Like, so far, it's not put me wrong. So far,
so far
they've
so
all been lovely. Yeah.
Lovely. I'm going to ask you a question I ask everybody, because I think we maybe touched on it a little bit earlier.
Go on.
I want to start with your most iconic item of clothing. Because we maybe mentioned it.
I think there's two or three.
There's a few, yeah.
I think, firstly, we'll start with something that's in the room. My black Carhartt jacket.
I know, I did just... eyes went to it because that is one of the correct answers, for sure.
Yeah, there's my black Carhartt jacket.
You do have a uniform, I'd say.
I do.
And the jacket, it's the piece that doesn't change.
Yeah. Band T-shirts in general, but there's no one specific. There's a few that I favour... but, you know, generally it's just a band T-shirt.
Yeah.
My headphones, my black Sennheisers. This is a new pair of the same set of headphones.
I was going to say they look the same.
I love them so much.
Yeah.
They're lovely headphones. I really love the look. They've got great sound as well.
They're quite sleek.
They're nice headphones. They look cool. I like the double-sided and the leather with the, like, black leather with the yellow stitching. It's quite Doc Martens reminiscent, so I like that.
Yeah.
I love my Docs, but I think the one we all know and love is the Slayer bucket hat.
Yes.
Which, even though it comes out less often than the rest, it's arguably as, if not more, iconic.
Mm. There's also, you have a Slayer headband, don't you?
I do, yeah, my Slayer bandana.
So just Slayer on top of your head is what I
Slayer
associate.
Slayer on my head.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite an iconic look for me.
It is.
You know, there's something about Slayer. I mean, there's some context behind that. The first bit of context behind that, number one, is that Slayer were the first metal band I ever got into. My dad got me into music, and I didn't listen to much music before about year five, year six. My dad gave me his iPod, and the first albums I got into were Black Holes and Revelations by Muse and American Idiot by Green Day.
See, I did the same thing. Got my first iPod around year four, year five, and it had all my dad's music on it. And I listened to The Jam, and because it was alphabetical and I had the shuffle, and I really liked The Jam, and I think they were called James was the other one.
Yeah, James, that's Sit Down.
Yeah, so I think my dad has like the entire discography sort of thing. So I just made my way through the J's, and Robbie Williams was the other one.
Nice.
So I like that we've had, you know, similar time frame, completely different music.
Hey, it's how it is.
Yeah.
So I remember those were the first two albums I got into, and the artists I clearly remember getting into at the time were Wilco, The Who, which is my dad's favourite band.
My dad also loves The Who. Pinball Wizard was...
Pinball
Wizard's
such
was
a good song.
The song that I was obsessed with for a while.
And Aerosmith.
Okay, yeah.
And then got to secondary school. In year seven, I, you know, heard lots more music, found lots more music myself. I remember clearly being introduced to Nirvana by my year seven teacher, Mr. Buckridge, really cool. Still really cool teacher, really nice guy.
Music teacher?
No, biology.
Okay.
By trade. Lovely, lovely teacher. Lovely, lovely man. And he was the first person I ever heard to play Smells Like Teen Spirit. And obviously I was like, what is this? This is awesome. So went home and listened to some Nirvana. Year eight, one of my friends introduced me to Iron Maiden. And that's, you know, we're getting into metal-ish, but they're not heavy.
No.
And then I was listening to Iron Maiden and I was just like, what else is heavy-ish? You know, what's kind of metal-y?
What's this but more?
A little bit, yeah. I wasn't looking for specifically more. I was like, what's metal?
Yeah.
And I found Slayer. And Slayer to Iron Maiden to Slayer is quite the jump. I'll say that much. But I got into Slayer and I was like, oh my goodness. What have I found? What is this? And I remember listening to them before their latest album, Repentless, came out, which I think was 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And when that came out, I listened to that as well. I was like, oh, this is really cool. I got into other stuff by then, but I remember hearing that specifically when it came out and thinking, this is brilliant. So there's always a real soft spot for Slayer in my heart. And there always will be, because it kind of went... I found Slayer, then went from there and found all the other more extreme stuff and then kind of built back up from there into other sides of music and less extreme and branched out from there. And the other context to why I rep Slayer so hard is there is this meme in the metal community about fans of the big four of thrash metal. Thrash metal being a subgenre, one of the biggest metal genres. And the big four are Metallica, Megadeth, Anthrax and Slayer. Because they're generally considered the four biggest and best bands. There's lots of others in contention. Exodus and Testament
are generally
considered.
And I've actually heard of those four.
Yeah,
so.
Creator also considered pretty high up there. But the big four are Metallica, Megadeth, Anthrax, Slayer. And there's lots of jokes about all the fan bases. Metallica fans hate Megadeth and Megadeth fans. Megadeth fans hate Metallica and Metallica fans. Anthrax fans are kind of the dark horses of the group. You know, why can't we all get along? Oh, everything's cool. And Slayer fans have two words in their vocabulary. Fucking Slayer.
Yeah.
That's it. And all they do is wear Slayer. They see Slayer. And
so you just have to.
I love all four bands, but Slayer will always be the one for me.
Yeah.
Out of those four, comfortably, it's Slayer. Always will be. I've seen them twice live, and they are a force. I've seen all four of them, and genuinely, Slayer are the best. Like, comfortably, the best of the four. And yeah, so that's the other reason why I will always rep Slayer. I will absolutely live into that stereotype because it's true. The stereotype of Slayer fans, more so than the other three, is true.
Yeah.
All Slayer fans love Slayer. Like, they love Slayer. And you know what? That's so fair because they're sick.
Fair enough. I love that. I like that there's like a backstory to it. And it makes sense because you wear the bandana a lot when you're... when you're playing in your band.
It's really helpful for keeping my hair out my eyes.
Yeah. Do you have another bandana?
I've
that
got a couple others,
out?
But the Slayer one.
Slayer one slays.
Exactly. Slayer slay.
Yeah. They, Slayer invented the word slay.
It's true. No, they're sick.
Yeah.
Oh, there's nothing more to it. Slayer are awesome.
How have you found being... I know you're in a few bands, but I think Gender Envy is the one most people know you for. How have you found doing that a lot more this year?
I love it. I mean, I love being able to play music live. I've loved getting back into that because I stopped drumming for a while because we got a dog, Cooper, who is, you know, a gorgeous boy.
I love Cooper.
He's a beautiful boy.
Whenever you know what, I'm too lazy in life to swipe up on people's stories. Whenever I see a picture of Cooper, I always text you, oh my God, it's Cooper!
Which is so fair because it's Cooper.
Yeah.
And he is pathetic. He's a big, big baby. He's a big mummy's boy. I love him. Because of that, he hates drums. So I can't really drum at home, which is a real shame. So I had to stop drumming pretty much completely when he came into the house.
You picked Cooper over the drums.
It's the dog. Well,
I didn't
know I'd have to.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know what? I can manage. It's Cooper. I love him very much. And I didn't think I was going to really carry on drumming that much. That wasn't that big a deal at the time. I got to uni and I bought a guitar. And then not too long after, I got a bass. because I love playing music anyway, and I was like, I kind of want to do a band, well, even if it's just whilst I'm at uni, I want to do something. And I started practicing metal vocals because, with the greatest of respect, all the love in the world, I can't sing. You know, I can manage to get through karaoke half decently.
Yeah,
I'll make it work. I can hold a note, but it's, you know, I can sing. Whether you want to hear me sing is different.
Yes.
Whereas I can do pretty decent metal vocals, so I'm like, you know, I may as well actually push for that. And then Gender Envy formed in October 2021.
Oh, wow.
Without me. I wasn't an original member. I'm the only non-original member. The name actually happened when myself and the three other members of Gender Envy, not the original drummer, were at a Wargasm gig.
Was this when the band had already been formed and you weren't a part of it?
It was just when the band had been formed, literally like within a couple of weeks.
So you've been friends with them since the creation of the band anyway?
I've known them since pre-band.
Okay, yeah.
But the name was come up with at a Wargasm gig because Bambi Thug was opening, and I think it was either me or Jay said that we get Gender Envy from her. And then they were like, band name, this is great. And so that's how the band name was come up with. But I wasn't a part of the band at that point. But so I know them all from the Punk Society.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been part of the Punk Society since September of that year, had gone to the events and got really close to them because they're a lovely bunch of people, Punk Sock. I love it. It's really nice. It's really queer inclusive, disabled inclusive, POC inclusive.
They love everyone.
Like, it's a really inclusive society, very healthy, like, you know, a really good bunch. They do gigs, they do events, really chill events, really intense events, whatever. They've got a lot going and it's a lovely bunch. And there's a few bands in the group as well, and Gender Envy is formed by, pardon me, at the time, so in September 2021, the then president, Sam Cristolo, Lucas Mannion, who is this year's president, this year just having gone, and Jay Gottlieb, all very much like recurring members of Punk Sock, and this guy Andy, who was an exchange student from China. He had to go home to China in, I think, January or so of 22.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, we don't really know many drummers, but we all know Jake. Jake is in Punk Sock. We all know Jake quite well. We all quite like Jake, you know, does the job.
Jake's all right,
you know, don't hate him. No, I do. So they recruited me into the band in like the February or so. And it's kind of gone from there. And admittedly, my influence is definitely very different to Andy's. I think Andy's influence was a lot less intense. Like, Andy didn't really have much influence, and I'm a very different drummer to Andy.
Okay.
As someone whose primary listening is metal and then punk.
Yeah.
I definitely added some speed and intensity on the drums. Like, the drums sound different and a bit more hyped up, a bit heavier generally, and my influence on songwriting is heavier, like, if I influence a song. So I've only helped write one song. We've not played that song live yet. Although, depending on when you listen to this, you might be able to hear its first play, which will be the 15th of June, our evening set. We're playing twice that day.
This will probably be after that, because that's like next week.
I'd assume as much, yeah. But yeah, the 15th of June in the evening, our first ever headline show, we'll be debuting that song, which I've had the most influence on as a writer out of all of our songs. And that's our heaviest song, which you'd kind of expect.
I mean, one's really surprised by that.
No, not really. But that's kind of where Gender Envy's all come from, and I'm really happy it's gone as well as it has. Like, we played one show last academic year. It was a battle of the bands. It went pretty well. We got second place to a band called Purple Liar, who are brilliant. They're really lovely. They're also doing pretty well in the Nottingham scene. And then it went from there. We got a gig in November. We played at the Chameleon. We played one in February of this year as a charity gig, and then we played Rescue Rooms, and that got us a decent audience. We supported King No One. We opened for King No One and Delights, and our audience grew a bit. Then we played a couple more gigs, including headlining SB Fest. We played at the Bodega. We played again at the Chameleon. We've just played at Dot to Dot. And now we've got 4 gigs in 3 days and a gig in Birmingham in July.
Wow.
So, like, it's all starting to ramp up. We've got a single coming out hopefully next week, like, on Spotify and everything.
Oh, that'll be your first one, won't it?
Yeah, so it's going well.
That is going well. I have seen you play. I've seen you, whatever that thing was at Studio Live. That's the only one I've managed to get to. I meant to see you at Dot to Dot, and then I realised I hadn't been looking at my watch all day for timings. But that's okay. We saw you just after you'd finished.
That's vibes. Yeah. Yeah. Catch us on the 15th for the headline show, though. That's going to be
headline
a good one.
Show.
That's going to be the proper set. Yeah. Whereas the Mooch Fest set will be good, but it'll be like half the time. We're probably going to play like double our usual set length for the headline show, which is sick.
That'd be so great. Yeah.
I'm excited.
I will say, I know you've got band practice in about 5 minutes now.
Well, so... not too bad, because I've still got to wait on the others to even arrive.
Are they not the most punctual?
Not always. And I know Sam was going to be late anyway, because he's busy.
Anyway. But kind of just with that in mind, I was like, I've got a couple of questions I still have to ask you that I have to get in. One of those being, should you go on a TV show of some quiz show variety and need a specialist subject, what would you pick as yours?
Either the Lord of the Rings and everything around it.
Okay, yeah.
Or the specifically the UK UK metal scene from 2015 onwards.
Nice. I allow obvious answers if they're very specific, and that counts as very specific.
Yeah, the UK metal scene itself is massive. I couldn't cover all of it from there.
Yeah.
But the UK metal scene from 2015 onwards, I know.
That's probably when
probably
you were. Was that when you were a part of it?
That's when I kind of first joined and have listened back to very in depth.
Yeah.
So I'd say I know that arguably better than I know my family. Like, I know the UK metal scene way
better.
So
you'd rather
do
the UK metal scene than, like, mastermind questions on your family.
Yeah, I'd probably do better. I'd probably do better on that.
That's very fair. And the question I ask everyone that I kind of like to leave till the end is, what are you looking forward to? I know we spoke a lot about gigs you've got going on. You've got a lot of stuff on the gender envy side of things to look forward to. But is there anything else you're looking forward to?
I mean, I've got Download coming up this weekend, so obviously very excited.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of festivals this summer. gigs with gender envy. Yeah, live music. Like in
is
general,
there anything not music related you're looking forward to? Because you always have so many cool music things coming up.
Yeah, it tends to be mostly music things. It's like I'm trying to think over the summer. I've got nothing specific planned that isn't music.
Nice. You excited for next year?
Well, I'm excited to come back to the radio, excited for the mic, excited to be back in Nottingham.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Lovely.
So it's mostly music.
Mostly music. Yeah. As long
I've
as it's music at least related.
I've got a brand and I stick to it.
You do. You really do. You create your own stereotype and embody that stereotype to the full.
I very much am my own stereotype. Yeah.
Yes. And you know what? Fair enough. As you say, you've got a brand new stick to
it's
it.
It's a vibe.
It's nice and easy to get to know you.
I'm consistent.
If you were a character in a TV show, you'd be the one that likes music.
Yeah, I'm very consistent.
That's
you kind
all
of
the
know
personality they would write for you likes music.
Like, you know what to expect.
Yeah.
There's a lot more going on than
absolutely.
That. But like generally, if you had to characterise me, it's music. And that's so fair.
I love that. I was talking to Abby this morning about, she was like, there are four core things that make up her, and they aren't necessarily all she is, but they really feed into who she is. And one of them was being an oldest sister. And I think that's like you, but with music. And I don't know if this is coming out before Abby's or the other way around, but Abby and I went into a whole chat about this, if she were a Sims character type thing. But yeah. Yours is music.
Yep. And that's pretty much just,
and
one, yeah, that's unquestionable.
And I think it has to be music kind of in general, because it is, you know about all kinds of music. You're encompassing everything.
It's what I do. To be fair, I do kind of try and make it my job to know enough about what's going on generally in music.
Yeah.
And then obviously very specifically in metal.
Yeah. And then, you know, maybe on the occasion you remember about your degree and it's a smidge of engineering here and there.
It happens.
Yeah.
Like, what can I say? I like to put the work in when I need to.
Lovely. Well, thank you very much for being on the show today.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm still annoyed you got the Wordle and I didn't yet. And it's, you know, we've been talking for almost an hour and I'm still thinking about Wordle. It says a lot about me.
I'll give you a hand.
And if you've enjoyed listening to my voice, make sure you check out our Instagram, Off Air On Your End, to stay up to date with all the episodes coming out soon.